The message you're about to hear is sponsored through freewill donations by the global partners of the Remnant Christian Network Ministry. If you would like to be one of the partners supporting this gospel of the kingdom, please visit www.rcnglobal.org. Click the partnership button to register and make your contribution. With a global assignment to witness unto Jesus, Apostle Arome Osai is a teacher and preacher of God's word with the manifestation of the Spirit and power following his ministry. He is passionate about the rebirth of apostolic Christianity in the nations and committed to raising strong and accurate Christian leaders. This message will open you up to new dimensions in God, equipping you to play your part in God's end-time strategy. Here's Apostle Arome.
It's our prayer, it's our petition, even this night, O Great One, that you will grant unto us clarity. Cause that the trumpet will not give a sound that is uncertain. Because in our time there are so many more reasons to be afraid than to be in faith. And so we ask for clarity. That you will come to us in simple, plain language, as Jesus would have done if he were physically present teaching us. Let the scales fall from off our eyes, and let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. In the name of Jesus. Let this be the beginning of the building blocks of a true apostolic template, such that every spirit that is indeed hungry, and every soul that desires knowledge of the things pertaining to your kingdom, might be quickened thereby. We ask that you add so much temper to the momentum of the delivery that it might do damage to falsehood in the hearts of men. In the name of Jesus. You said that we should sanctify them by thy truth, because thy word is truth. Let the sanctifying power, let the cleansing, the washing power by which you wash your bride of the predicaments of wrinkles, of spots, and of every such thing, until your bride carries your configuration, such a bride that you can receive unto yourself, I pray, O God, that your word will go with purifying power. Give sight to the blind. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let us begin from the book of Acts chapter 1 as we begin to set the stage. Hallelujah. There were many capacity building programs that Jesus did in bringing the functionaries around him up to speed with the essence of the burden that he was carrying. Once upon a time, there was a request that was made for capacity building in the area of prayer. Teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples, and a major disclosure on the subject of prayer was what accompanied that request that was made. So there were several capacity building programs, enlightenment forums that Jesus engaged in order to cause his followers to trap the essence of the burden that was at work on his life. But all the capacity building meetings and forums that Jesus pioneered were not a replacement for an ultimate capacity building program which he organized in the book of Acts of the Apostles. So I'd like us to read the layout, and then we'll begin to build from that point, because what we are talking about here is apostolic discipleship. That's what we're talking about. It is possible for you to be teaching something from the Bible. Are you with me? For instance, this Bible is a book concerning the kingdom, the administration of the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible is about. Whereas there is prosperity in the Bible is not a book of prosperity. The Bible is a kingdom manual. And just in case the next motivational preacher comes to town, are you with me? And then he uses the Bible as a text for motivational messages. That's wrong, because the Bible is not a motivational book. It's a kingdom book. If you want to do motivation, you can consult with other books. Leave the Bible alone. That's not the text for the business. You are out of context in your deliverables because you do not understand the spirit of the book called the Bible. So in this minister's conference, we want to put several things in perspective. Many of you were present when I did a summary of the Bible. We started from the book of Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, to the book of Revelation. And the whole subject of the entire Bible is the kingdom of God being administered by God. Alright? So, your perspective of God is wrong if you don't see him as a king. Because that's what the Bible is about. And when Jesus came to bring capacity building to the apostles in the book of Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, you find the subject of the seminar that he came to conduct. Acts chapter 1 from verse 1. The former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Next verse. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. At this time, Jesus had died, Jesus was buried, Jesus had resurrected, Jesus had ascended into heaven. And when he ascended into heaven, he applied for a leave, 40-day leave, and the purpose for which he tendered the application was so that he could conduct a capacity building program, which lasted for 40 days. And the subject of the program, or the seminar, the tutorial, that Jesus was coming in a hurry to do with the apostles was pertaining to what? To the kingdom of God. Now, that is to say that if you are a preacher and you lack a panoramic view of the Bible you teach, how that Bible is a book of the kingdom, there are many presentations you are going to do that is off spirit. It doesn't carry the touch, the spirit of the book that you consulted. And are you here? You are not with me. Because somebody came the other day and said God has called him to preach money. That is laughable. You see, we have no basis of checking the authenticity of the things that people claim to receive from God, because we don't understand the context. And he wants to teach money and the platform that God has told him to pioneer so that he can teach what? Money is church platform. If God has called you to teach money, you can be organizing seminars from city to city. But if you are pioneering a church, you have the responsibility of outright discipleship. And the emphasis of your discipleship initiative cannot be money, because the text is the Bible. And the Bible is a book of the kingdom. We need a few more scriptures for you to be convinced that this is the book of the kingdom. Jump to with me to Acts chapter 8 before we start the journey. I want us to clear the context properly. Clear the context properly. Acts chapter 8,
verse 5.
Are you there? Acts 8, 5. This is Philip the evangelist. Invaded Samaria. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached what? Please, underline that. Verse 12. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Is that 12? Oh my God. Please. 12 is what I requested for. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning what? The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So the subject of his teaching was what? Kingdom of God. So Christ and his kingdom was what they preached. And if you check the entire New Testament, you check the Pauline epistles, you will find out those were technocrats that brought out the dynamics of the reality of Christ. Because the kingdom of God is administered through the office of the Christ. So we cannot talk about the kingdom of God without emphasizing the operation of the office of the Christ. We cannot. So these people were taught by Jesus. They were people that Jesus came to earth to teach. It was a 40-day program. And the subject of this 40-day program was as touching the kingdom of God. Now, what is a kingdom? Somebody help me quickly. I need to know what a kingdom is. What's a kingdom? You can talk. Okay, we need it on tape. Don't worry. Pastor, sit now. Get us a microphone so that when we are teaching our grandchildren, your voice will be there. What you say will also be captured. What is a kingdom?
Praise the Lord.
You don't need to stand. Just a kingdom. What's a kingdom?
A kingdom is a king. Is a king and his domain.
A kingdom is a king and his domain, which is wonderful. So that is to say that the domain is a principality, where is the polity where the prince has influence. Is that true? Because principality means an authority that is operative within a territory. That's what a polity is. It's a territory. Now, so when you hear Jesus calling Satan the prince of this world, cometh. Are you with me? The reason why Jesus was addressing Satan as the prince of this world that cometh is because a prince has authority, but a prince doesn't have a polity. He doesn't have a territory to exercise his authority. All right? And that's why the Bible says we should give Satan no place. Because when you give Satan place, that polity becomes the platform where he begins to exercise his authority. Now, you see, on the strength of the fact that the emphasis of the Bible is about the kingdom, it therefore means that God of necessity would need to manifest or exercise his authority in order for his eternal purpose to be fulfilled. Are you here? So without the exercise of the authority of God, God's purposes cannot be fulfilled. For instance, the conductor that is on a bus in town that doesn't know Jesus, maybe by ordination he was called to be a prophet, but he cannot be a prophet because he's not in his sphere where God has authority, and God cannot wield his authority over his life. And as long as that is the case, he can never become everything what God has ordained, because he's not in his sphere where God can what? exercise his authority. So if the authority of the Lord is not exercised, the purpose of God never comes to pass. Are you with me? Meanwhile, there are two things that form the pillar of the civilization of the unseen realm which are trivialized in this realm. And the two things are namely, one, authority. If I ask you, what is authority? You've been preaching for a long time, Richard. What's authority? You might discover that that's not an intellectual question. I know if I give you an intellectual question, you'll come up with so many answers. It's not an intellectual question. But if you ask any angel in heaven what authority is, they will tell you, because that's how they live. They live in the reality of authority. Oh, you are not with me. Now, I'm going slow because I want you to understand what this Bible is about. We've been beating about the bush for too long. This Bible. We need to know what is. Authority doesn't seem to be in the context of human life, human daily life and daily experience. It doesn't seem to be a major pillar in our civilization. But that is not the case in the unseen realm. In the invincible realm, authority is a major pillar. In fact, there are several entities in the spirit that, because of authority, some other entities cannot even rebuke them. Even though God sent them, they had the backing of God. They could not rebuke those other entities because of the authority structure. That's how the civilization of that realm is. Another thing that is very difficult for you to understand is called glory. Now, if I ask you, what is glory? Richard, you've been preaching I saw your picture on Facebook. You had one mic, you were doing like this. You traveled to Ghana for Bible school. You just came back. What is glory? The reason why those questions are difficult to answer is because they are not intellectual questions. You will not even know experientially what glory is if you have not participated in God to some extent. You may not even understand authority. You might know it intellectually and you are saying, you don't have even authority to talk about authority if you have not participated. For instance, the very essence of your Christian life, the Bible says, Christ in us. The reason why he allowed Christ, the reason why through our believing in the Lord, the administrative infrastructure of the office of the Christ was built into your heart. And when I talk about the administrative infrastructure, I'm talking about the fact that you cannot by yourself access the Father. There is an infrastructure that is built that provides the atmosphere, provides the possibility for you to be able to interface with the Father. As powerful as you are, you can't engage the Father directly. You engage the Father through a mediator. And that mediator is actually in an office. It's the office of the Christ that provides that connection between the civilization of the immortal realm and the civilization of the mortal realm. For instance, you speak English language. Is that the language God speaks? You see, the civilization of the immortals transcends the realm of language. And so it was not your carefully articulated English language prayer that ascended into heaven. But when that body was precipitating, the Spirit of God could read it. He read it in your heart and he picked it in that raw form. It's in that esoteric form that it was advanced to the realm of the immortals. Through the structure, the infrastructure of the office of the Christ. So you can't talk about the kingdom of God without talking about alignment with that infrastructure, which is the basis of your intimacy and your interface with God. Jesus was the one that was defining who he was. And he says, I am the way. I am the progressive path. Because God has no end. You only make progress, you don't arrive. I am the truth. That truth there is not statement of fact. It's a substance of reality. You see, for instance, healing is a reality in a particular realm. Are you with me? When that reality is released into Pastor Dan's vessel, that reality called healing is matter, is substance in that realm. If that reality is released into Pastor Dan's spirit, and because Pastor Dan has labored as walk with Jesus, Jesus has educated him in the spirit to be able to identify that reality when it comes. Are you with me? The ability to identify a spiritual reality when you come into contact with it is what is called truth. That ability is not with you. That ability is actually the ministry of the Holy Spirit when he bears witness about a spiritual thing. And Jesus says, I am the substance of reality. The Bible says, Jesus still speaking. He said, I am the way, the progressive path, and the truth, the substance of reality. And I am the life, the wellspring of life. Because the way the life operates, it operates like a spring inside. It springs up inside of you. Alright? I'm the wellspring of life. Anytime you begin to have any of these experiences, it means you are actually interfacing with me and with my infrastructure. That's what Jesus was saying. And no man, with emphasis on no man, cometh unto the Father. You cannot engage the Father except by me. So I'm the infrastructure by which you can engage the Father. So if we're talking kingdom, you can never talk kingdom without talking about the person and the office of the Christ, because that's the only access we have to engage the realm of the Father. So when the evangelist went down to Samaria to preach, his sermon was gleaned, and there were two appendages to his sermon. He preached Christ, and he preached things pertaining to what? To the kingdom of God. So it means that the denominator from whence we screen every message for compliance is kingdom. So that pastor says he is called to preach money. I'm called to preach money. We need to question that calling. Because if we see something in your life that, or in your ministry, that we cannot trace to the ministry of the early apostles or the ministry of Jesus, your own is an introduction. I know you don't like my talk, but you know we didn't come here to make fun. You can have a deliverance ministry and it's working and people are gathering, right? And you have deliverance prayers, you have deliverance manuals, you have deliverance prayer point books and prayer point for barrenness, prayer point, all kinds of prayer points. And then we do a thorough check of your ministry and your style, and we compare it to the deliverance ministry that Jesus did. If there is any difference, it is not Jesus' own that is fake. Is yours. Are you with me? Because you have introduced something that was not there before. If we had no Bible, we would no longer be Christians. Because people would have come with revelations. Just like one of my friends came and started teaching something. So we finished a conference like this and went to the office and invited him. Sat down, and other scholars were there, other people were there. When I said, okay, this revelation you are preaching, can you share with us? He said it was the Lord that appeared to him. So So the Lord appeared to you and said something that he did not say before in the Bible. So this, your own revelation, is without a foundation. So, and we should believe you and then disbelieve the Bible because the Lord appeared to you. It was on the strength of that meeting that that brother no longer ministers here, because he could not tell us the foundation of that thing he was pushing. And there is already a reference point in the Bible that is very static and concrete. So he left the place with anger. Meanwhile, our initiative was not intended to produce anger. Is to bring a check in the body of Christ. There are quarters that I don't have authority to contend with people. Are you following? But in the quarter where I have authority, I ensure it is adequately done. Because it's part of my job in the body of Christ. Oh! Most of you have heard my messages. It's as if I'm contending with, it's a calling. So that I'm fighting for you. That you not embrace the devil and call it God. That's why I'm fighting. It's a calling to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Because marauders and rabble-rousers are available to manipulate and to change the price tag. So Jesus came to teach things pertaining to what? Okay. Step two. Because of that, let me migrate. Can we go to John? John, I need to explain what Jesus meant. I need to explain what the Acts of the Apostles meant when he said the subject of what Jesus taught was concerning the kingdom of God. All right. Can you do John chapter 3 quickly? Because there are two concepts in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that I need to clarify if we're going to make progress on the issues concerning the kingdom of God. Two concepts. The first concept is what we call the kingdom of heaven. Second concept is what we call the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. They are two concepts. And they don't mean the same thing. You know, when you is convenient for you to say they can be used interchangeably, that kind of convenience is what brings doctrinal inaccuracies in the body of Christ. So there are two concepts. I would like us to define those concepts before we begin to make progress. Then you'll be able to understand the seven parables of the kingdom that Jesus gave. Are you there? So the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Have you read the scripture that says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever"? The scepter of thy kingdom is the right scepter. The throne of God is forever and ever. The kingdom of God is the reign of God from eternity past into eternity future. Because from the beginning, God has been reigning. Alright? It's a reigning God from past, present, future. So that reign of God from eternity past to eternity future, that is the scope of the kingdom of God. There is another meaning of the kingdom of God in the New Testament, namely in the book of John, chapter 3. The kingdom of God also is a sphere. Are you here? This is a sphere of the divine life. Anywhere the life of God is, the kingdom of God is. Alright? So there are two definitions. It's the reign of God from eternity past, present into the future. The kingdom of God is also a sphere in which the life of God is. You know, when you gave your life to Christ, what happened to you is that the life of God, through the Spirit of God, came into your heart. Are you here? It means that the authority of God can actually manifest through the life of God. If you read New Testament theology, you hear Paul make statements like, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the trademark that you belong to God at the end of the day, when this life is over, is, did you ever make contact with the Spirit of Christ? If indeed you have the Spirit of Christ, because even if you die, it doesn't undo the presence of the Spirit of Christ in your heart. It is the presence of the Spirit of Christ that you died with that is the basis of your resurrection. Are you with me? Alright, so that sphere in which the life of God is also the kingdom where God is. Two distinct definitions of what the kingdom of God is. But you see, the concept of the kingdom of heaven is a bit different. Are you with me? The kingdom of heaven talks about the rule of God in the third heaven. The scripture to establish this is in the book of Psalms 115, verse 16. Please, media people, help me. Psalms 115, verse 16. Sometimes when we have a conference like this, it's very difficult to prepare a message. So you flow. You can't. It's very difficult to prepare a message for a minister's conference. Hallelujah. Psalm 115 verse 16, the Bible says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. Notice that the second heaven is plural. The heavens. He's actually making reference not just to the atmospheric heaven. He's making reference not just to the second heavens where the cohorts of darkness are tabernacle. He's making reference to the third heavens. The heaven of heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given unto the children of men. So that this scripture is an unfolding of jurisdiction. Now, God operates from the third heavens, but you see, the sphere of man is the earth. Are you here? The sphere of man is earth. Okay, one of the things that we can deduce from that scripture is how that, because God has given the sphere of the earth to man, it's actually man that determines what happens in the earth because of jurisdiction. If you don't pray, for instance, because prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference, heaven will be unable to interfere with the earth realm except prayer ascends because of jurisdiction. Because if God comes into your space, it will be illegal because you didn't invite him. Jurisdiction. Now, so that scripture reveals that God operates from the third heavens. Exactly? Third heavens. Good. Listen, let me take you to Matthew, because Matthew is the book in the Bible where you see the phrase the kingdom of heaven. And you see it in Matthew 33 times, as you have heard me say again and again. Because Matthew is a book of the kingdom. So this is the concept of the kingdom of heaven. You know, we are on earth. Are you with me? Is that true? The earth he has given unto the children of men. God is where? Third heaven. Okay. So when you gave your life to Christ, what happened? The Holy Ghost began to tabernacle you, entered into your heart. He sat in your heart. That's where his seat is. That's where his command tower is. But the Holy Ghost that is upon your heart came into your heart to give you perspective of the realities that are taking place in heaven. Oh, that's why I say you open to the book of John chapter 3. John 3, are you there? Verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is the proof that you are born again? The Holy Ghost. He sits, he has regenerated your heart. That's the proof that you are born again. It's an organic reality. So not everybody that came to for altar call ended up becoming saved. Because the proof that you are saved is that the Holy Spirit is in your heart. Some people came for your altar call fraudulently, and their confession did not warrant any response from heaven. It is you that put them in the choir, but they are none of his. Are you with me? Stay with me. Now, this guy is born again now, so the Holy Spirit is in his heart. And this scripture is saying that because the Holy Spirit is in his heart, he has the capacity to perceive the things that are happening in God's realm, which is the third heaven. Are you with me? He is here, but through the Spirit of God, he can perceive the things that are happening where? Now, do you realize that if I perceive what God wants, maybe God wants me to give Tonya 500,000. I perceive it. Why am I perceiving it? Why can I perceive it? I can perceive it because the Holy Spirit came to bring perspective of heaven. You see, from the day you gave your life to Christ, you became a citizen of heaven. And the token of heaven, which is the Spirit of God, released into you as an investment, a down payment upon your heart, is supposed to link you with your nation of nationality. So that you can function from your nation and not function from the earth. Are you with me? These are basics, but I want us to put it in place before we start this job. Now that I know that God wants me to give Tonya 500,000, and I know that from the Lord, that's what heaven wants. Heaven has approved that Tonya should be given 500,000, and heaven has handpicked me that I will be the vessel through which that will be accomplished, and I perceive it. Do you realize that after perception, I still have a choice to obey the Holy Ghost or to disobey him? Is that true? Good. It therefore brings us to a point where we have two categories of believers. You see, in the kingdom of God, just like we said, it's a sphere of the divine life. Because anywhere the divine life is, the possibility of perceiving what is on the heart of God is available. Are you with me? Oh my. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Perception. Receptacle. Your receptacle is the organ through which God furnishes the dimensions and dynamics of his witness upon your heart. So, and that happens when you are born again. In fact, according to this scripture, the proof that you are born again is that your receptacle is active. Your perception of spiritual things is active. It's one of the proofs that you are born again. Are you here? Right. So, now I am in the kingdom of God because I'm operating from the sphere of life. Is that true? The life of God is in me, no doubt. And I can perceive what God wants. But having perceived that I should give Tonya 500,000, I have analyzed it and I have decided not to give Tonya 500,000. That doesn't make me unsaved. That just made me not to be able to operate from the kingdom of heaven. I have denied heaven expression through my vessel. Are you following? You see, I'm still in the kingdom of God because the life of God is still there. But what happened? I have denied the kingdom of heaven expression. The will of heaven could not be expressed through my own vessel. So in my vessel, the will of heaven is shut down.
So we have two categories of believers. First category of believers are the believers in the kingdom of God. They have the life of God in them. Second category of believers have come to that point where they have chosen, in addition to the life of God they have chosen that God will rule in their soul. Oh, you are not with me. Let's take it gradually. Jesus took leave for 40 days to establish these matters. Let's get it. Before we begin to advance, before we go to the territorial expression of the kingdom, before we go into... wait, let's start from basics. So in somebody's vessel, the Holy Ghost, when he furnishes heaven's perspective, this vessel is willing to die to himself to allow God to override his decision-making processes so that heaven's will is manifest through this life. This one is operating from the kingdom of heaven. He's being managed from the third heavens. This one. His life is an expression of the will of God that is sustained in the third heavens. And this other fellow, he is in the kingdom of God, but heaven doesn't reign in him. These are two categories of believers. Are you with me? You know, Jesus came and that was what he taught. He taught about the things pertaining to what? To the kingdom of God. So the first thing now is, you notice that Jesus actually subjected the disciples that he co-opted into the teaching seminar. There was an elaborate screening exercise that took place before he admitted people into that apostolic training forum. Unfortunately for us, 70% of the Christians in our generation are operating in the kingdom of God. They are born again, but they are not willing to operate under the government of heaven. Heaven doesn't govern them. And we said that if God cannot exercise his authority, it means his purposes cannot come to pass. So the question we need to ask at this point is, how much of heaven's authority do you have? Because the extent to which heaven can smile is the degree to which there is a believer that is yielded to fulfilling the will of heaven. And if you are going to fulfill the will of heaven, you will surrender your own will. So it means that salvation goes beyond the spirit. In order for heaven to be expressed, salvation must conquer the soul. So issues of your will being surrendered now comes into view. Issues of your emotion being stabilized now comes into view. Because many of you have gone into relationships without God. It was not heaven that was responsible for those relationships. It was your own emotion that is unbridled, is staggering, is unstable, is staggered into the relationship without God's input. You are not with me. And then you were chastised with many sorrows. Because God was not involved. It means that your emotion has authority, much more authority than God. Even though God was saying, don't go. No. In fact, there's no need to consult God. Once the emotions have picked it, it means that's the direction to go. That's a man with an unstable will. Such a man is not so profitable to God. We have gone beyond salvation. We are in the soul now. Oh, you are not following me. Oh, are you there? I need to break your heart with two scriptures. Because that thing you are doing, calling Christianity, you shut heaven out of your family. You shut heaven out of your life. You are just there to use God. Yeah, you have the life of God. Yes, I'm secure. And you are using God. You take advantage of God. It's about you. You are in the center of the drama of the whole show. So you are the objective. Meanwhile, God saved you so that you can participate in the kingdom.
we can surrender your will so that heaven can begin to govern the earth through your submission to God. That's another layer. The platform of emphasis for a man that is pioneering the dimensions of the kingdom of heaven is his soul. The workings of the government of God on his soul. Are you here? I say, are you here? It's not as if some of us don't have enough money to buy big vehicles in this town. The vehicle that will be so bogus. What's that? What do they call that car? That V8 Toyota. Sequoia. The new one. We have money to buy it. Some of us in this hall have money to buy that vehicle. And when you are moving on the road, Okada man will give you way because he knows if he hits you, there's problem. If you hit him, there's problem. But you see, in the kingdom, when resources begin to come into your life, whether resources in terms of anointing, in terms of finances, in terms of grace, in terms of intelligence, in terms of beauty, when resources are allocated to you, then heaven will now manage it. So much came in, but did not translate to vehicles and clothes. Because there is the third heaven is managing your use of the resources. It's in keeping with that which will bring profit to the kingdom of God. Because there is a working of that kingdom. The stronghold of that kingdom is putting pressure on your soul. And your will is surrendered. So it doesn't translate to direct profit. But it translates to profit for the kingdom. That guy is being run. His life is being run from the third heavens. He's a different personality altogether from the guy that just gave his life to Christ and has entered into the sphere of life. Before you say you are a preacher, before you start preaching, where are you operating from? Is it the kingdom of God? You will deceive a generation because you yourself are a fraud. If you are preaching from the kingdom of heaven, then you have authority from heaven because of your life of obedience. Because that's what Jesus modeled. Adam modeled the principle of rebellion as his own operating system. Jesus came and he modeled the principle of obedience as the culture of men that walk the path of the kingdom of heaven. I need to break your heart. Let's go to Matthew. Don't forget where I stopped to. Because our text is the book of Acts. At least for this night, is the book of Acts. Before we branch into my own unique course, from tomorrow we'll branch. The two lecturers of the conference will have his own part, his doctrine. Because these days we don't know what we believe again. We don't know what we believe. We don't know what we believe. I read a post on Facebook from a senior minister, and I knew that the spirit of apostasy had come back. And he didn't know that he had veered off. So he's the next lecturer, his own area is doctrine. So we'll try to establish the things that are most surely believed among us. My own major course is spirit life. I want to tell you how resources, spiritual resources that are intangible, how you can manage them, how you can channel them, how you can use it to achieve profit. And we'll do that with practicals. Hallelujah. Because casting out devils is a practical initiative. It's not something, it's not for the laboratory. So, we will do practicals also. Because the only merchandise that we have as the body of Christ is called life. That's the only thing that our generation doesn't have. And the proof that you are a messenger of the cross is that you should have life. Because death worketh in us and life in you. There must be life in your ministry if you are a messenger of the cross. If you are willing to deliver yourself into death
unto suffering of sacrifice, your ministry will carry life. So I came, my own area of emphasis in the conference is how to steward that life. It has a lot of tributaries that are attached to it. And if you can steward it adequately, because our generation needs life, my brother. So, but before we go into all of those areas of specialization, let us strike at the heart of the reason for which Jesus came for 40 days. Matthew chapter 25. Quickly, we'll still go back to the book of Acts and then I will build from there. But he came and he spake things that pertain to the kingdom of God. So there are two kinds of believers. First kind of believer operates from the kingdom of God. He is born again. The life of God is in him. If he dies, he will go. He has security with God. Because the Spirit of God is still in his spirit. Hallelujah. It is a man that has lost the Spirit of God in his spirit whose destiny, eternal destiny, is bleak, is in darkness. Hallelujah. But as long as that life is there, as long as the Spirit of God is there, we understand the arrangement that behoves of such a personality. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, you will notice quickly. He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 2 virgins, unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. What is the basis of the classification? Because we have 2 categories. First category is what? Second category is what? Right. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and what? Lamps. So the wise virgins, they took oil in vessels, took oil also. Where? In lamps. But the foolish virgins, they took oil only in the lamps that did not have any vessel. Hallelujah. This is a very good picture. And I like the presentation in the book of Matthew. Whereas the Bible says that the spirit of man is the lamp of God. Are you with me? The spirit of man is what? Is the lamp of God. So when you see that the Bible says that the virgins had lamps, it's the spirit of man that is carrying the Holy Ghost. That means they are born again. And the lamp is the spirit. And the vessel is the soul. The believer that is in the kingdom of God has the life of God in his spirit. But when he comes in confrontation with the perspective of heaven on the account of that life of God that brings consciousness of heaven, he is not willing to submit his will in order for him to do the will of heaven. So he doesn't have a vessel. The Spirit of God cannot influence his soul, can only influence where? His spirit. But the wise virgin, he has oil not just in his spirit, he has oil also in his soul. Because when he sees the perspective of heaven, he is willing to submit his will so that heaven can have his way. Oh, you are not following me. You don't believe me. Okay. Now, let me show you something quickly. Then we'll come back there. According to the scripture, the believer that has oil in his spirit alone is foolish. The believer that doesn't have oil affecting his soul That Holy Ghost in his spirit is not authoritative enough to affect his soul. That believer is foolish according to scripture and according to kingdom reality. Meanwhile, what Jesus came to teach for 40 days is what?
Kingdom.
Now, based on this classification, are you really wise? Can you say you are wise? Everything that your life today is a literal expression of that which the Spirit of God from heaven wants to do in your vessel. Because if that is not the case, it means that foolishness has caught up with you. You see, we are in a generation where, like in Lagos now, they wake up 5 o'clock to go to work, come back 11 in the night. So he thinks that his job is his life. Because when you threaten a man in Lagos, that I will sack you. Sack. He will line up. But there's a difference between your job and your work. Like I said to the people that attended the pre-conference, your job pays you salary. Your work pays you reward. If you are in the banking industry and you spend most of your time in the banking industry, you must ask God why he put you into that industry. So that in addition to your job, you are doing your work. If not, after 35 years of laboring, and you come out of that system, you will discover that you only have a lamp. You don't have a vessel. How did you become born again? You accepted Jesus. And then your spirit became regenerated. Let me show you a clue before I take you further. According to the Bible, Matthew, we'll come back to Matthew 25 again. Matthew chapter 7. When you begin to fellowship with the Spirit of Christ deeper and deeper, you begin to understand what the Spirit of Christ wants you to do with your life. Huh? Sister Tunya? If somebody comes and tells you, we'll search you, we'll take your. All they can take is your job. But you have labored with Jesus enough to know what Jesus wants from you, and you can continue that one. Some people's relevance ends when they lose their job, because they think their job is their life. It is your work that is your life. But in Lagos, they think their job is their life. So when I went to Lagos, I told them that there's a difference between your job and your work. Then the whole place became emotional. We have jobs too that we are working on. But in addition to the job, and our job is not suffering, we are doing the work. And a day will ultimately come, the Lord will say, not because they are saying drop the job, you yourself will say, take your job. So that I can attend fully to the work. That's a kingdom man. A mundane man will think his job is working for God. He will not diligently find out why God took him to Ministry of Finance. It's not to do finance. Your certificate qualifies you to enter the platform, but you are there as a kingdom man, and an evangelist in the market is an evangelist. There's a work for him, for which he needs to do. So if you enter a platform, there is a work from heaven's perspective. You need to find it. That's why you are there. That's the reason why you are where you are. I remember when I finished youth service, spent some time to pray, and then God spoke to me and said, go back to Kano. It's your service you finished, but not my work. I said, hey, there's a difference. That's where I discovered that there's a difference between your job and your work. So I went back to Kano. I said, okay, what is this work? He said, those young boys you have been discipling under the mango, that is why you should be there. Meanwhile, this mango tree we are talking about doesn't have leaves. We are just under it, as psychologically, that there's some shade. It was one day when I analyzed the level of coverage, I found out it was psychology. So I went back to Kano, took a teaching job, because that's the one my family will understand. Okay, he's teaching for now. They can understand that. What are you doing in Kano? I'm teaching. But you know what? My real work is under what? A mango tree without leaf. Only kingdom men know the true story of life. If you are still telling the liturgy of breakthrough, you have only a lamp. You don't have a vessel. At the end of the day, it will be clear that you were foolish. And we are talking about the doctrine of virgins here. There's no unbeliever among them. Among the blessed, there are foolish ones. That's what I'm saying. So I'm just, before we talk about what you are teaching, what are you preaching? Because if we do the analysis, no, not this time, maybe in the next conference, we'll focus on your preaching. And then we'll bring the 10 mental levels of the gospel in the Bible, and then find out which one you are preaching. Then we'll be able to find out if you are part of the problem of this generation or you are part of the solution. It's next time, not now. Now we want to know who is a foolish man. You have been wasting heaven's resources, and like Dan says, it's a waste. Another name for it's a waste that Dan said is foolish. If it's just a waste, it's very convenient, it's very polite. You wasted. But the Bible says foolish. It's not convenient. Are you still with me? Okay. In Matthew chapter 7. Are you following? You know, I asked you, how did you give your life to Christ? How did Jesus become your Savior? You accepted Him. You acknowledged your sin. You acknowledged you couldn't help yourself. And then you begged Him to save you. And then in keeping with His compassion and goodwill, He responded. And then regenerated your spirit. And the proof that He actually acted on your prayer was the regeneration of your spirit. Is that true? So entry into the kingdom of God is by regeneration. Is that true? Alright. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." See, you are not listening to what I'm reading. You are reading from your brain. The emphasis here is not the kingdom of God. I only the intelligent one will know what I'm trying to do. Because this is the scripture that is the basis of a lot of theological contentions. This scripture is used as a threat most of the time. To threaten people so that they can threaten them into compliance. But calm down. The Bible says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. I hope you know that the Bible says that he that calleth upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. So that Lord, Lord is the precondition for salvation. But he said, not everybody that is saved enters into the kingdom of heaven. So, there are saved people that are in the kingdom of God, but they are not operating from the kingdom of heaven. And those saved people that are in the kingdom of God, that are not operating in the kingdom of heaven, have sealed the heaven from being expressed on the earth because of their non-compliance. Give me the scripture. Don't take it away. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who are the ones that enter into the kingdom of heaven? Those that do the will of my Father. Where is my Father? You get it? So the guy is saved, but he's not operating from heaven. It's only those that go a step further to surrender their will to His will that can express heaven's dimension, heaven's position, heaven's will upon the face of the earth. Two kinds of believers. So this scripture too confirms that there are two kinds of believers, just like there are two kinds of virgins. So entry into the kingdom of God was through regeneration, but entry into the kingdom of heaven was by a choice to do the will of God. It will affect your soul. If you are going to function in the kingdom of heaven, your soul will come under pressure to do God's will, to choose God's choices, to do God's things. This is another level higher than the first level. And what Jesus was trying to make us understand is that those guys that don't operate from the kingdom of heaven, they are not so useful to Him. They should not be part of the apostolic seminar that He came to do. Because you must have this ordinary level requirement of having operated in the kingdom of heaven before you will now be educated as to how God's kingdom on earth will prosper, will be extended. It's at the expense of those heavenly creatures that the kingdom will expand in this civilization. Did you get it to that point? So can we go back to Matthew chapter 25? Maybe when we do Matthew 25, we can now go back to the book of Acts of the Apostles, and then we can tick the first point that you understand what the seminar that Jesus came to do was about. We can tick it. Before we talk about the content of what Jesus taught in that seminar, we must come to a point where we should know whether Jesus would have admitted us into the seminar in the first place. Because only people that are operating from the kingdom of heaven, that are bringing the civilization of heaven into the earth, that are willing to pay a price of surrendering their will to God's will, willing to allow heaven to manage the resources it brings, makes available to them. I've known many times that I was heavily under the anointing, and then the Lord God of heaven said, today is not for miracle. Okay, if today is not for miracles, why did you release the anointing? You are the one that is in charge of the tap. Then you now open the tap and say, today is not for. God is just testing your level of compliance and response to authority. The reign of heaven. Ooh. That's when you will know whether you are meek. Some people say, oh, when the anointing comes, I can't hold it. No, you are still operating from the kingdom of God. Because heaven will manage all the resources. Oh, that's your beauty that you have used to torment everybody in the whole place. You must make sure everybody is aware that you showed up. Heaven will manage it. Heaven will manage it. It's a resource. And when God sees a pastor that has a tendency to backslide easily, He now allocates you to him. So that when He looks upon you, you'll find balance. Meanwhile, that's the kind of creature. It's the kind of creature that you hate with passion. It's heaven that will manage the resources. Heaven. And people that have regard for the authority that is domiciled in heaven, they are willing to surrender their will to accommodate the perspective of heaven. You know, a lot of people have stayed in the Christianity of convenience, the Father Christmas Christianity, the breakthrough level. Oh, breakthrough, breakthrough. And most of our elders in the faith have endorsed people in the kingdom of God and have sentenced them perpetually to babyhood Christianity at the expense of profit in the kingdom. That's the legacy that they left behind. Millions of immature people, foot soldiers, consumers, looking for what to take, what to steal, what to receive. The estate they are receiving it from has been vandalized. And we lack resourceful, responsible sons that will build the kingdom of God. That's the legacy that left behind. And many people hear me say this, and they say, See this guy, I have authority from Jesus. You don't understand. Oh, don't look at my age. No, don't look at my age. Meanwhile, don't try what I'm doing. Don't look at my age and don't try what I'm doing. You don't know where I've been in the spirit. It is not advertisement. I tell you, I know what Jesus gave me. Yes. There's an authority he gave me for what I do. And that's why I do it, I prosper. If you try, you might find a challenge. They have blessed immature Christianity. They have blessed infantile Christianity. And people do not desire to lay hold on heaven's perspective. It's as if you are an outlaw, a Jew guy, if you are reaching out to hold the scepter of the heavens. A Jew guy. A modern day religion is a strategic device to gather people. That's modern day religion. People that do not become functionaries in the kingdom of heaven. And so the Bible reveals a sorry situation of two categories of virgins. One of them called foolish and the other one called wise. And the reason for the foolishness or the wisdom, as the case may be, is in whether or not they had a vessel in addition to what was in the lamp. Meanwhile, their situation was not obvious. They were all flocking together. You will not even know the difference. They were all attending Bible study and you will not know the difference. They were all rigmaroling together and it was not obvious. Until a time that they did not influence was chosen as the time for check. And when the alarm went out at that time, the situation of the foolish ones was revealed before the master. And the situation of the wise ones was also revealed at a critical moment. Because the Bible says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And that sleep, there is death. They died. It was at the last trump, when the dead in Christ rose, that cry went out. So in the land of the dead, they arose, both foolish and wise. And then the bridegroom that is supposed to receive them now say, foolish ones. In fact, the foolish ones recognized their condition instantly. Meanwhile, their condition was not obvious before this time. And then when they all arose, then they now say, oh, in the afterlife. They now discover that, no. We don't have, no. Okay, can you give us some? Then the wise one says, they say, not so. They didn't say no. They said, not so. That's not how it's done here. They were still using another mentality in it. He said, not so. It's not done here. But there is a recommendation. Go to them that say. That means in the afterlife, some of you will pay a price to buy. Oh, you think it has finished? You didn't serve Jesus with your life here, and then you say, I don't escape. You forget that the reign of God is from eternity past to eternity future. He will still meet you in the future. And you're... Some of you have already wasted one third of your life. And you wasted it, the definition of your life in that one third. Foolish. We saw that your own option before we decided to desert it. To come to a place where we give perspective to heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in. So my Father in heaven has a will. He wants to do something. And he's looking for vessels that will yield their own will. It's hard when the Spirit makes a demand. It's very hard. But according to scriptures, those are the people that are wise. And their being wise will not be obvious in this age. Is in the age to come. There are some people that are wise in this age. When we enter there, you will discover, not so, not so. They will beg you for something. Not so. As you see, of all the truths in scripture, Jesus decided to come and teach about the kingdom of God. Because you'll be a vagabond if he doesn't teach it. You'll be a natural fool if he doesn't bring perspective about those issues. Before we come to the point where we measure your ministry, what you are doing, what you have spent your life doing, the thing you pioneered, before we look into that, we need to establish the basics first. Are you still with me? You're here with me. All right. Haven't known that. That by definition, there are several believers that are foolish and several believers that are wise. Having known that, and hopefully, you are planning to be wise. Having known this, that was the subject of the emphasis of the capacity building program that Jesus brought. That every functionary of his in the end time must be kingdom minded and vast and established in the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Come with me. Go back to Acts. I don't have time to. If we have gone further, we would have entered into the parable of the talents. I hope you know those talent people, they are also born again. Because God gave them grace to steward. God gave them grace to steward. The manifold grace of God. Romans chapter 12. We have therefore gifts differing according to the grace of God. That's the scripture that captures the metaphors in that particular parable. He gave them talents. This one went to trade. You know, when you use the grace on your life, it will grow. I found out. As you use it, it grows. And if you don't use it, it won't grow. So anything, you people now, anything that stops you from preaching is stopping your trading. It's stopping your trade. Anything that stops you from doing what God has called you to do, even if it's your job, you have to resign so that you can trade. Because that's the only way the grace multiplies. The last healing meeting I went for, I did in Lagos. I've seen healing, all kinds of things. I've seen God heal. Recently, the healing flames are on the rise. On the rise. And then in that meeting, we now saw people whose legs were not the same size. We saw the legs grow out. I've started seeing creative miracles now. I've seen where God gave someone new parts of the vertebral column. I've seen a situation, one guy was shot with a gun through the ears and the eardrum and the entire infrastructure collapsed. The bullet came out of here. And then during the healing service, he began to hear with the ear that the entire infrastructure was removed because God created it back. I started seeing creative miracles recently, but it was not like that before. The grace has grown. Somebody came into the last meeting we had. He had been taking some psychiatric drugs and the thing blotted out his eyes. So his vision was blurred. And I was praying and suddenly, 1, 2, 3, the eyes became clear. And he ran and laid down. It was a mother that came crying that told us what happened. Those are creative. The grace, it multiplies. Oh, you see, it has even come. Whenever I feel on my hair, I see somebody uses Vaseline to rub the head. That's the sign. Like as I am now, I can minister to the sick and strange things will happen. In fact, the one in Lagos, I didn't pray because I was sick. I took drugs
And he knocked me out. I woke up 5 o'clock, which was the time for the program. And I came there. When I came, I couldn't. I said, okay, can you go and lead prayer for 1 hour? Somebody was just leading prayer. I was just trying to build the spirit a little. I just prayed for about 35 minutes and I felt that Vaseline. I mounted the pulpit. I didn't preach any sermon. I just picked one word of knowledge. Picked another. You know, those are the things we do. That one, even if we don't pray, picked one here, picked one there, picked one. And then the Vaseline again. That was the prayer I prayed. And 2 people, their legs were not the same size. They grew out. It's trading. Trading. As you trade, it grows. And so the parable of the talent is a parable of stewardship. And the Bible reveals that there was one of those guys that received the talent that hid it under inside of a napkin. It was that one that was casted into outer darkness. Sorry, outer darkness is not here. It's a place to pay a price in the afterlife. Many of you will be paying prices when this stage of life is done because you were foolish. I know you want me to add, that is not your portion in the name of Jesus. The only way it will not be your portion is that you make a choice to participate in the kingdom of heaven. If you leave this place without no choice. One preacher came to town doing miracle. All the miracles were fake. Why will I be in ministry and what I'm doing from place to place is fake miracle? I know it's fake. No. My heart has not. Hey! No. As you labor under the authority of God, and heaven has authority over your soul, you will become sensitive to God. Your heart will become tender. You become sensitive. You even know when other people are hurting. You will know. Because you are not full of yourself. It will make you sensitive to your environment. It is those cracks of sensitivity, that pliability, that makes your hand, through compassion, to become a conduit pipe from whence the healing streams can flow. You want power, and you have not obeyed God. Are you still with me? All right, let's go back to Acts, so that I can show you a few things. Acts chapter 1. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's Jesus. He showed himself alive. That's Jesus. After his death and after his suffering, there was a contention as to whether he was alive or not. He didn't bother to show the entire generation that he was alive, but there were several people he chose. He had a responsibility to show himself alive unto them. You see, kingdom men, people that have decided to operate in the kingdom of heaven, God has an obligation to show himself alive to them. Just in case you need. In the reality of God, you've been praying and there's nothing happening in your ecosystem.
The things you prayed about, it's as if God did not hear you.
You are not very important. That's why. Because I know people that if they cry, he comes. If me, I cry, he will come. Littered across the little years I've lived as sacrifices that have brought scars upon my body. And those scars, every strand of the scar is a sign of my loyalty. Yes. If I cry, he will come. Because he is obligated to show himself alive unto those he had chosen. Those that will attend the apostolic course, he will show himself alive. And these ones know for of a truth that we do not serve a dead God. Those ones become agents of life. Put them where there is dead. Put them. Dead church, dead country, dead. Put them there. The only merchandise they have is life. Because the one that has life has shown himself alive to them. Can you prove that he's alive? I can. I can. I don't only preach to Christians. And if I preach to people that are not Christians, I don't come with the Bible. I come with a word of knowledge. That you want to marry another wife. And that second wife you want to marry. This is an imam that I'm preaching to. You want to marry another wife, a fair girl, very fair, smallish. She's 18 years. And this fair girl, who is the daughter of a politician, if you marry her, there will be a lot of celebration today, but that girl will destroy your family. That's an imam that I'm preaching to. And he held my clothes and said, "This thing you say is true." Because he knows he's been going out with. The one that told me those things is alive. And I was able to prove him because he showed himself alive to me. So I can show him alive to others. Hallelujah. You know, in my office, people that are non-Christians can, they will seize every opportunity to make jest of Christianity. When some people are talking. But not when. No. Not because I took Cain to threaten them, no. Those people there that are the actors in that thing, they had come for to be shown some things that he is alive. One of them came, wanted to marry a second wife. He now brought the lady and said, "I should scan for the presence of demons." Scan. Please just conduct a scanning and tell me if there are demons there. So I've been running those kind of consultancy services. Because even the unbelieving world know the number, they know people among us that carry God. To whom he showed himself alive after his suffering. By many infallible proofs. Undeniable proofs. Being seen of them 40 days. Those guys were not praying to a dead God. They knew he was alive. They knew it. Oh God, I pray that God will do something upon your heart so that you will know that he lives. You will know that he is alive. Showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and teaching concerning the kingdom of God. Now, let me show you evidence that they actually attended the course before I show you the content of the course. Maybe, oh my God, okay. I will show you two contents of the course. Meanwhile, the contents of the course are littered across the book of Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 1 verse 16. Proof that they attended the course first before I show you the content. It was after the course that they implemented what we call the Acts of the Apostles. So in various points in the book of Acts, you are going to see the curse popping out. They are implementing something again that they got from the curse. You see it pop up. So in my study of the book of Acts, I was able to find relics scattered across the book that points to the training that they received with Jesus. But meanwhile, evidence that everyone attended the course. These are evidences of the course. Verse 16, it says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs, somebody underline needs. That means it's urgent that this scripture be fulfilled, the one he spake by the mouth of his servant David concerning Judas. When David spoke that scripture, Judas' name was not there. But after attending the course, it became clear to them that it was Judas that David was talking about. And there was an urgent need that resulted from the training. What is the need? To replace Judas. Do you know that except you understand the accurate apostolic orientation and the emphasis of the kingdom, you will not know what is needed. You will just be doing something called ministry. But what you are doing is not what is needed. He said, this scripture needs be fulfilled.
That's the first sign that they attended a course. They came with a realization of emphasis. Realization of what is urgent. The realization of what heaven demands now.
Second evidence that he attended the course.
This scripture needs to be fulfilled, which was spoken by the mouth of David before concerning Judas, which was, guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained the part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it is known unto all dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue, not in English language, the name of the field. They had to look for an ancient word to call the field. It is called in their proper tongue. That there was no word in the English dictionary. They had to look for who is an ancient man that can bring a word that is not common in their proper tongue. They call the name of the field Akaldema, which is to say the field of blood. Verse 21 is actually my Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John. The second thing that revealed that these guys were educated was that they understood the timeline that began the kingdom journey. We do not understand that the church is progressive and the church is seasonal, and your labors are consistent with timelines. Meanwhile, it is your Bible that says from the time of John the Baptist, that's a timeline, until now there is a timeline that began with John the Baptist that is still very relevant at this time. And these people were able to pick the timeline. That the issues of the emphasis concerning the kingdom began in the days of John the Baptist. Okay. Are you the Jesus president now? Where is? Okay. Now, no, sit down. You were Jesus president for which academic session? 2017-2018. Now, part of what will make you accurate is to understand your timeline. You see, all of our service to the kingdom of God is consistent with what we call dispensations. What God committed to us is
a dispensation. The emphasis of your ministry and the emphasis of the witness of God for a particular age might be different from another age. And in order for we to be prophetic and we speak freshly from God to every age, God gives us dispensations of ministry. You will not understand the full administration of the dispensation of grace that God has committed to you if you don't understand the timelines that are given for the seasons of heaven. As anointed as you are, your dispensation was just for one academic session. How can you quantify the impact of your labor? Because something was on ground before you came, and you did something, and then passed on the baton to another person. How can you quantify the impact that was furnished in your own dispensation? I hope you know some of the labors you are laboring is on the foundation that we laid. We meant nothing. I hope you know that. Some of us had extra year to lay those foundations. Oh, you are not aware? Some of us fasted for years to lay those foundations. And in our time, we were not popular. So we did not gain. There was no glory in the kind of labor that we did. You people came. The hearts of men were touched in your time. We met cultists, black acts, and buccaneers. Yes. Our converts were cultists. You met a ground that was rid of cultism. This was the strongest stronghold of cultism in the Middle Belt. Apart from University of Calabar and Uniben, there was no other fortress as strong as this. Meanwhile, they didn't kill in the final years of cultism in University of Calabar, they didn't kill the way they killed him. When we spoke about conviction that came upon people, that they gave their life to Christ, we're talking about cultists. That people visited, there's this thing they used to call snooker those days. So that was where the conclave was. People visited snooker balls and left everybody crying. Those guys were cultists. To do ministry under that kind of atmosphere, the investment in the place of prayer was much more than the ones you people do now. And the one you do now, when you do it, people gather. If you cannot calculate your timeline, you interpret the crowd that gathered to gather because of your anointing. You won't know that the crowd gathered because of a heritage of investments that were building up. You came in the time of harvest. You did not come in the time of labor and ploughing. You came in harvest and said, oh my God, we are doing 5,000 already. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are wrong. Because in those labors were men of whom this age was not worthy. Their names were not known. Their faith was priceless. But you stood on their foundation. You did not even honor their memory. And you saw 5,000. And you say the whole place is packed. Even the overflow is packed full. God came down. These guys knew their timeline beginning from the time of John the Baptist. The labor you took to Taraba. Do you know what timeline you were standing on? I don't have time. I'm already out of time. I don't have time to show you how that the church is seasonal and the church is progressive. Those of you that attended the pre-conference training, we did that yesterday. They sent a security report to Jesus. And the report was, get out of town because Herod will seek you to kill you. That's supposed to be an intelligence report. A security intelligence report. Get out of town. We were there in the conclave where the resolve was to look for you and kill you. And Jesus said, go tell that fox. that I do cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will be perfected. He was dividing his ministry into three dispensations. So there was something he did on the first day, there was something he did on the second day, and there's something that is expected on the third day. We are in the third day church now, but we are still doing first day ministry because we don't understand timelines. And you are expecting that we will change the reward. They knew their timeline. We don't know ours. People don't know what this season is for. That's a proof that they attended the training. I don't have time. You need to get the tape of the timelines. We did that yesterday, quite extensively. It will bring you perspective. Hallelujah. Two things I need to say quickly before we close. Is this? Are you still with me? First thing that Jesus said in the lecture is that if we are going to extend the frontiers of the kingdom, then you need to receive power. That we don't do kingdom business outside of power. You see, unfortunately, your understanding of what I mean power is faulty. That's the only problem now. Because when I say power, somebody felt he understood what I was talking about. Power has many tributaries, not just miracles, signs, and wonders, as you are inclined to believe. There are many tributaries of the supernatural. And Jesus said that we cannot do a kingdom business, extend the frontiers of the kingdom outside of power. Second thing that Jesus said was that the kind of kingdom business we are doing is globalized. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, it's supposed to also affect the uttermost part of the earth. Now, how many of you know any global business that has presence in Nigeria? You know Nestle? Nestle. Okay. Coca-Cola. Unilever. Pepsi? Now, are you here? Listen to me. Coca-Cola is global and it has presence in Nigeria. The Nigerian branch of Coca-Cola is not a Nigerian company. It's Coca-Cola worldwide and they have 13 different brands of Coca-Cola. Are you aware of that? Do you realize that 1 billion people out of 8 billion people drink Coca-Cola? So the Nigerian branch has an international outlook. The way Coca-Cola runs in Nigeria is not how local companies run. Oh, you are not with me. Now, according to Jesus, the kingdom campaign upon the face of the earth is globalized. So the way you even run it in your location must have a global outlook. If you don't run it that way, you are not part of the lecture. Oh, you didn't get me. Okay. If you didn't get that one, leave it. Somebody came from one country to this country. We were having a conference. And then this was the dining hall. This place. So the person now came and saw this stage. I said, is it this place that you people, that we watch on YouTube? The place used to look different. The small hall we have, we gave it a global outlook. It was when the people came themselves and saw it, they said, are you following now? Now, that is how you run Coca-Cola. The way Coca-Cola runs is not how the local businesses run, not how Cherrywood. You know Cherrywood? What was the shelf life of Cherrywood? 6 years. That thing you are doing, if it's apostolic, it will be relevant to the globe. But if it's Nigerian gospel, the gospel of poverty, so you are just ministering, giving
breakthrough. The man in the United States of America, because of his economy now, cannot understand your breakthrough gospel. So most of what we are doing is not apostolic. Is infiltrated. The territory has infiltrated our emphasis because we did not see the scope of the business. We were not part of the lecture, because in the lecture Jesus revealed a global apostolic initiative, and every presence of that initiative must have a global outlook, even if it's a home cell fellowship. All right, and you are doing it according to apostolic pattern. If they put it on YouTube, it will bless the world. That's what I'm talking about. But if you are not doing it that way, and you are doing it in a localized way, you say, okay, we are looking for demons in electric fan, demons in the combo. Some people in the United Kingdom might think you need to see a psychiatrist. You are not making sense to me. You are in need of a doctor, a special kind of doctor, a psychiatric doctor. Somebody was given an opportunity to pray for food. It was akpu and a egusi soup. And the person rose up and began to attack the devils, the demons in the land from whence the cassava was taken. He began to do justice to the territorial configuration that held the cassava while it was yet in their alignment on earth. Aike tamalogo bohosi. Now, when a learned man from the United Kingdom listens to that prayer, he knows this person needs psychiatric help. For 45 minutes, the deliverance on the food was still ongoing. He began to attack the meat, that it was this pork meat that all the diving in back. At the end of the prayer, there was no appetite for food again. The appetite was down. We entered fasting mode instantly. That was supposed to be a prayer. Meanwhile, there's a prescription for praying for food. There's a prescribed prayer. Paul said we should receive it with thanksgiving. But when your practice is not consistent with scripture, it cannot be relevant globally. You become a local champion. People will hail you in your conclave. But if you leave your conclave, what you are carrying is not relevant to anybody. The design of the gospel is not so that it can have a local face. Because someone comes and looks at everyone and says, okay, it is very likely that most of us had terrible backgrounds. Then he brings a prayer point. No, we don't operate that way. There is a model for the deliverance ministry that Jesus did. You don't need to even know their background. If you administer that kind of deliverance ministry, that guy will jump out and the guy will go back to the same fortress of darkness, being a son. And he will begin to administer the dividends of a kingdom that builds by grace. We've exalted the devil with ignorance and given people prayer points that are not in the Bible. Meanwhile, if you see Jesus' prayer in the book of John chapter 17, you will wonder. You will not even understand the prayer. Because one of the ways to rate a man's spiritual life is when you hear the quality of his prayer. It's a proof of his level of fellowship. Jesus was speaking prayer, and you will need some angels to chronicle it, because it is a labor. It's something. My God! If you are not deep in the spirit, you will not know the meaning of the prayer that Jesus prayed in the book of John, chapter 17. That's why we came, so that we can be recalibrated. We can begin to develop competencies in the area of
accurate, profitable kingdom initiative. That's why we came. So that the least among us can become as strong as David. I found out. Learning will continue, but not every knowledge is needed. I found out that there was a type of training that Jesus gave his functionaries. There was an emphasis he built around their service ministry. And there were two things about their ministry I would like to highlight quickly before we pray together. This is a welcome service. It's a service that will open us up to the fact that we've been operating on a template that is dissociated from the original training that was given the apostles that bettered the ministry that we have recorded in the book of Acts of the Apostles. And we do this labor with the hope that a functionary like Paul, like Peter, a functionary like Barnabas will rise up from among us with a clear-cut ministry that will begin to occasion the recovery in Nigeria and beyond. We do this with the hope that your heart will capture a vision of what it was that Jesus passed over to the apostles. That the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened suddenly. Then you will realize that shadow boxing is not ministry. Beating about the bush is not ministry. Then you will know the burden of the apostolic call and how it is intrinsically related to bringing profit to the kingdom of God. There's prosperity in the Bible, but the Bible is not a book of prosperity. There's holiness in the Bible, but the Bible is not a book of holiness. And if you stay, and what you are teaching from the Bible is prosperity, because it's not a book of prosperity, very soon you will enter into error. If you use the Bible as a text to preach holiness, that's all you preach, holiness. Before it is too long, you will enter into human tradition, because it's not a book of holiness. But if you preach the kingdom, it is a book of the kingdom. And in the kingdom involves holiness, involves faith, involves so many things. If you teach the kingdom and your emphasis is the kingdom, you will find out that the Bible doesn't contradict. Yes, the kind of prosperity that God promises, it is contingent upon the kingdom. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then the resources you need to fulfill and prosecute your divine purpose will begin to navigate in your direction. You will see how everything builds up into one whole. But if you stay on one of the fringes and you use the Bible to establish it, very soon you'll be in error. As modest and noble as your intentions were, you were wrong, because the text is a text concerning what? The kingdom. And people taught holiness, thinking that by teaching holiness, people will be holy. And after many years of teaching it, the people that were taught were skilled in human tradition and far away from holiness. Because if you are teaching holiness, you must teach Christ. Because Christ in the New Testament happens to be the source of all things. Hallelujah. Holiness is the nature of God. It's not your nature. So you cannot approximate or do something and then, no, it's a nature. It's a nature. And then you need to know the custodian of that nature and how to align to the infrastructure that he has built in order for us to inherit everything that nature brings. So much so that nature will manifest as if it's our nature. So we are constituted by it through processes and dealings that it subjects us through, so that eventually we can truly say that it's no longer I that liveth, it is Christ, the same Christ that liveth in me. Any other thing we teach as emphasis will not even produce that thing in the lives of people. Prosperity preaching has lingered for long. Have people prosper? Meanwhile, prosperity is the result of alignment, of obedience. If I surrender to God and I'm living for Him, my finances are His, my life is His. It's only people that are ultimately altogether submitted and surrendered to God to prosecute the policies that are being picked from the heavens. Those are the people that enjoy God's best blessings. Don't think that you, because you can be operating the kingdom of God, and because of your commitment to greed, you are willing to give for selfish purposes. That's not how God makes a financially strong man. The Bible says they gave themselves first before they gave their substance. God accepted Abel first before he accepted his offering. If the kingdom is the emphasis, there will always be balance. But if you come and stand on one teaching, I bet you a teaching is different from Christ. So the body of Christ in the past few, about 30 years, I've been doing teaching, not apostolic doctrine. Because the hub and the center of apostolic teaching is Christ. He said that is the secret. It was hid from ancient prophets, was revealed to his servants in the days of the first generation apostles, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. That's the investment that God makes in every Christian, upon which he expects you to prosecute your Christian life. The deposit of the Spirit of God. Your life of holiness will issue from there. It is that presence of the Holy Spirit that is on your heart that is the basis of faith. It is the Holy Spirit that furnishes faith, your conviction, your belief system, your assurance. It is the Holy Spirit that does that. And that's the foundation upon which your Christian life is built. That's where you draw from to become a champion. That's what you live by until it becomes your life. So that you are not just changed, but you are exchanged. And it's no longer you that lives, but Christ has become your life. His promptings, his stirrings, his beckonings, his call to prayer becomes the way you live. You wait for the next prompting. And when he calls you to prayer, even when it's not convenient, you are willing to let go to align with him. According to Paul, that is living. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Is the man that has lived Christ, whose death is gain. Because there was nothing left to do. Everything was done. The world is not losing. He is a conduit pipe, and he has been poured forth like a drink offering. He's not needed anymore. His spirit will live on through his disciples, the people that heard him and believed him. His spirit will live in them. The gospel of the kingdom is more radical than what the Jewish zealots were expecting. They were expecting self-determination. They were expecting to become a self-governing nation. But what Jesus gave is much more than what they expected. That through your vessel, the kingdom of God will find occasion to come upon the face of the earth. You will become a partner with heaven. You will become a functionary of the third heaven. You will function by the kingdom of heaven. And with the attendant authority to establish the counsel of God. What he gave is not something that can fail. Because God that gave it is partnering with it to ensure that it's established. If God sends you, and you know God that sends you, you can't fail. You can't fail. Because he's with you on the mission. We're going to pray. Is it true that God sent you? Because if he sent you, he will make a way. But if you are not sure he's the one that sent you, stay back and find out. Stay back. There are no hard places. Say, oh, Akwaibo Misal is a lie. There are no sentiments. If heaven sends you and you are willing to allow heaven back you up, he will show himself alive. As we kick off this conference, we want to pray two prayer points. The first prayer point is, Lord, help me not to be a fake believer. Let me not be a fool. I'm tired of being fake. I want to be accurate. I want to be resourceful. Let me not be empty, beggarly, and foolish. Give me the ability to go beyond self and be ready to surrender, so that heaven can have an expression upon the face of the earth. Help me. Help me to see what you are pointing to this generation, that my labors will not be in vain, but I will be such a functionary of your kingdom that will be so wise. And many years after I've gone, the things I said, the prayers I prayed, the manifestation, the prophecies I gave will begin to shape the earth. I will live in my words. I will live in my messages. I will live in my prayers. My prayers will live on, because a kingdom man walked this world. My testimony will bring admonishment to young believers, because my life was lived by the Spirit of God. We are tired of preachers. We seek kingdom men that will model the life of the kingdom of God, model the perspective of heaven. There is something that heaven wants to accomplish. Some believers will close the door to heaven. Some others will open the door, because their submission, relocation and unleashment of the grace of God into the earth. That's why we came, that the least among our numbers can become as strong as David. That's why we came, so that we can receive empowerment to colonize Jerusalem, to colonize Judea, to colonize Samaria, and to bring the hand of God to the nations of the world. We are tired of an impotent ministry, something that does not have the power to challenge a generation, something that doesn't have the power to convict a man of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We are tired of the religion and the routine. Because if God has sent you, challenges will come and pass. But the testimony of God that you bear will survive every season. That's why we came. That's why we came. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. The heavens seek vessels that will occasion the expression of his will. The heavens, the heavens, the heaven of heavens. They seek vessels. They seek vessels that will allow an expression of a grand plan. Vessels that will become open doors. Open doors that will allow the perspective of God prosper. Babaraka Mazeliko Boko Sete. Lamen Komba Sika Prasketa Bahaita Kabarata Masobrehede. Lante Kosezi Labrante Komba Hai Koparata. Igabaito Sonda Iko Dalamon Sheketa Liko Bakabarata. Amina Bronde. Amina Bronde. In Jesus' name. Take your Bible. Can you turn Hosea chapter 3 from verse 4? Hosea chapter 3 from verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. So we are talking about kingless Christianity, non-kingdom pastoring. Hallelujah. Where people, what they are doing is, has nothing to do with kingdom. And the Bible says that we exist, survive many days without what? A king. When you check the object of our preaching and teaching, you see a king there. Do you see a king that needs to wield this authority for his purposes to come to pass in the lives of men? If there is no king, then what we have is like what Hosea is trying to describe. Say, for many days, the children of Israel will be without a king. They will be without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, without a teraphim. There were five things missing in their civilization. For a long time, doctrine has been without kingdom. For a long time, it's been about what someone can get, about the breakthrough that an angel came out of the layer of heaven. He has a bag of gold and he just missed his way, and he's coming to the end looking for an address, a place to deposit something. He's staggering under the weight of the gold and he's looking. That's the gospel we've been preaching. Prosperity without purpose. That's the type that a native doctor preaches. But when you consult a native doctor for money, they don't tell you how to use the money. It's just come and prosper. Come and collect. That's what Pastor Dan calls, what did you call it? A waste. We had a good service. And unbelievers came from nightclubs. Came from place. The place is air conditioned. It was a chill out zone. After hangover from nightclub, bring the babe. And then stay on the gallery. Be far from the preacher. You know, just. And then the place is fully air conditioned. The seats are cozy. You find all kinds of people. You find razzmatazz. Just glory. Yeah. And flooded the whole place. A 10,000 seat auditorium. And the preacher came with a slick suit. Those ones, those kind of suits from Amsterdam. And he was looking. I have come back. The way his steps were calculated. Everything was, oh my. The utterance was. The microphone never went off peak. It was always in that mode. Everything was conditioned. And after 1 hour, 15 minutes of teaching, then they now switch on the main light. You know, when he's flowing, the lights are manipulated. So you. And that was all. The club guys went back. Yo. Selfie. You do that when there's no king. And in Lagos now, strategy sessions are beginning to replace prayer meetings. You come with your tie and your lab coat. Your iPad. It's a strategy session. You need to analyze. You need to process data. 10 business proposals from John 3:16. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. He said for a long time, Israel will be without a king. The Bible says that there was a time that there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. That's what's happening in the body of Christ. Everybody is doing what's right because there's no king. Because when the king shows up, everything lines up. He will exercise his authority. Never in the history of the church have we had the kind of immorality that is looming everywhere. Because everyone is doing that which is right in his own. And we believe that this global enterprise will prosper. God will implement a new policy. Yeah? Give me the scripture. Without king, without prince, without sacrifice, nothing to sacrifice. People are no longer paying the price. Paying the price looks like old school. No, we blend. We align. We confess the word. We speak the word. Name and claim. We declare and declare. Glory to God. So many assortment of activities can find expression when there is no king. No need for loyalty. No need to sacrifice in bringing forth choice obedience. No need for that. And the Bible says the children of Israel will be like this for many days. You can hardly tell what they believe. Next verse. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord. See, Lord is in plural. Lord, the Lord King. The Lordship dimension will come. They will seek the Lord their God. And they will seek David. David their king is actually pointing to Christ. The Lord their God. The Lordship dimension comes in. And they will seek David, their king. When will that be? And shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. So if one of the symptoms, one of the prophetic emphases of the last days is that in the last days the gospel of the kingdom will be entrenched. Which is the ultimate gospel. It will be entrenched in the house of God. It was Jesus that said, and this gospel of the kingdom. If he had said this gospel shall be preached, you would have added prosperity there. You would have added success, breakthrough. But he defined the gospel. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations as a witness to all people. And then the end. So if you know you are in the end time, the gospel for the end time is the gospel of the kingdom. The king will have to come and take his place in the church. Can we pray today? Can we acknowledge the Lord? I say, I don't want to live like a vagabond, doing what my soul desires, moving from one tangent of pleasure to another tangent of pleasure. May my life be altogether submitted under your majesty, so that through my vessel, heaven can have an open door. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Israel shall seek the Lord their God and David their king.
They shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. They shall seek the Lord their God. They shall seek David their king. The Lord their God and David their king. Can we go with that song? Can you help us with that song right now? You are glorious beyond description.
It's us. You're the spirit of worship. You are glorious.
You are glorious
beyond eternity. You are the spirit of worship. You were glorious,
glorious beyond.
Then we seek David, your king.
Eternity.
David, your king. Tell him, O Korea,
you are.